Good morning. You're listening to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Howard Elder, who is Director of Research Environmental Affairs with J&J Envision. Howard, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Kemp. Thank you.
Good to see you. We're here at Green Building the second day, and I'm in your space on the North Hall, and you have gorgeous space. I think this is new compared to what we've seen in times past. Let's first talk, when people come in the space here, I guess you're here primarily to see the A&D community. What some of the message points are you telling them?
Well, our main message point is the one that we are most focused on at the moment, which has to do with our water reclamation area. For the past year, we've been looking at a potential way to save major amounts of water. Our facility in Dalton, Georgia, uses about 45 million gallons a year of water. We are just finishing the installation of a very fancy filtration system, a series of filters that we think will allow us to reuse 20 or 25 million gallons of water a year, which will be a significant reduction in water usage for us. It consists of a three-stage filtration unit. You have a core stage and then a finer stage resulting in a reverse osmosis, which is very fine filtration, such that we can take very dark colored dyehouse effluent water, which when it leaves our facility normally goes back in the line to a Dalton Utilities treatment plant. However, we have demonstrated over the last year with a research unit that was on our site for 3 months that this filtration system will allow us to take that wastewater and convert it back to where it has less color in it than does our incoming drinking water. It's just amazing what this will do. In 2 weeks from now, I'll be back helping start this unit up with Aquachem's help, because Aquachem is the manufacturer of the system, and we were fortunate to be the first carpet company that has become knowledgeable about this unit and tested it and found that, sure enough, it works. So we have just completing the installation of the big unit, and we will be starting that up. In addition to saving appreciable amounts of water, the water that we then return to the dyehouse will be warmer than our normal incoming drinking water. Our fresh water comes in now at about 55 degrees Fahrenheit. If it's going to the dyehouse, we're going to heat it up to the boil. Well, if we can get water at 70 or 75 or 80 degrees Fahrenheit that's returned from the filtration unit, then we have less heating, therefore less energy required, and so then that rolls over into greenhouse gas formation, and it sort of builds on itself. So we hope that others will see what we're doing here and be able to test this system that Aquachem will talk to them about, and they will be able to conserve major amounts of water as we have, because water is going to be an increasingly vitally important source. And, you know, when we get in droughts in northwest Georgia and have to start cutting back, although I'll have to say when we first went to Dalton Utilities and said, we're going to be buying significantly less water from you than we have in the past, it was like, whoops, we didn't see this coming. But they're on our side now and realize that overall this will be a good thing for our industry.
Well, what are the other mills doing, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I know one other mill in a somewhat different application has looked at this equipment. I don't know where they stand exactly on that. Past that point, I'm not sure that Aquachem is ready to handle the millions of gallons of water that the major mills might want them to, but I guess that's their decision to make.
As of right now, as far as you know, other people that do Beck dyeing and things like that, they just do what you had been doing. They turn it over to the waste reclamation in Dalton.
As far as I know, but really I have limited knowledge there.
You know, I'm interested to be at this show to see. Usually the flooring companies are major players at a show like this for Greenbelts from the very beginning. And I think there's four carpet mills at Greenbelt this year, which we found very surprising. Just to name them real quick, you're here, J&J, saw Beaulieu Canada here, saw Interface, and saw Shaw. So those are the companies that are here. A lot of, obviously, hard surface companies are here, but on the soft side, I guess you're the smaller player here right now, aren't you?
Probably so. I was telling someone the other day that prior to the formation of the U.S. Green Building Council, there was Environ Design, and that was the national show. The first national environmental show that I went to, there were 250 of us there, total. This is, you know, well over 20 or 25,000, and that's the growth that I've seen in the overall sustainability movement. Carpets, we felt, used to dominate this show, and now with I don't know, something on the order of 900 exhibitors were here. We're hard to find.
Yeah, that's right, right. So you're talking about your water reclamation, very noble. You also have, I'm sure, some things to talk about as far as recycled content. Talk about some of the other things you're talking about here.
Okay. In terms of recycled content, we have somewhat of a disappointing story because, as you probably are aware, carpet used to get a point. There was one place that carpet could get a point. It wasn't really for recycled content, but it was for meeting the CRI Green Label Plus VOC very low emission rates. Well, that's gone away. Now, I don't make the rules for the U.S. Green Building Council. Recycled content being the one property that most are most familiar with, and we are lumped with concrete and steel in a building. And the first cut, so to speak, is by weight. So compare the weight of carpet in a building to the sum of concrete and steel. Concrete and steel each have relatively high recycled content. So you put some, or even if carpet were to be 100% recycled content, it's probably not going to influence a lead point. Well, that's disappointing. I wish that carpet could get more credit within lead than it does. We're happy to say that we can contribute to those points. And if your other decisions of your other materials are as good as your carpet decision, then you will get whatever points are there to be had. But I would love to see carpet get a little more credit for sort of being an early adopter here and somewhat leading the whole sustainability movement.
All right, Howard, when it comes to your broadloom and modular carpets, you do have NSF 140 certification, right?
We do. I was fortunate enough to be part of the team that prepared the original draft that was turned over to NSF International to run through the ANSI protocol, which was done and, as you know, was successfully balloted first in 2007. But in terms of our J&J product line, as you know, the certifications under NSF 140, the sustainable attributes of carpet, go from platinum being the highest level to gold and silver. And we have platinum-rated tiles, and we have two different gold-rated or certified broadloom carpets, one pretty much regular latex and then one that's a moisture barrier product.
Howard, it's great to see you, and I hope you have a good rest of the show. Again, we've been talking to Howard Elder, who is Director of Research and Environmental Affairs with J&J Envision, and you've been listening to Kempar and FloorDaily.net.